Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
It's the tornado, Tony Penica.
And welcome to another edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. This week we have Francisco Palacios, who is 21-2 with 13 knockouts, never been knocked out. And he's just had a couple losses, both of them to Krzysztof Wlodarczyk. And obviously a tough fighter there. Fought him over in Poland the last time last year, or actually it was 2012, September of 2012. He's one of Matt Yanofsky's guys, so we got to give a shout-out to Matt for this one. We're talking to him at 8:30. And we got plenty of news to cover. I'm sure Psychic Tom will be on any minute. For some reason, I didn't get the memo on the UFC Fight Club thing, so I didn't get to see any of them. But I'm looking at the results here. We'll talk about that. When Tom chimes in, there he is.
All
Psychic
right.
Tom.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening. There you
All
go.
Right. Lots to
All
talk
right.
about.
Yes, sir. So, right off the bat, I got some big Floyd Mayweather news. He went to South Africa. He's going to straighten out the South African boxing situation, apparently. To me, sounds like he's trying to be Muhammad Ali all of a sudden. But yeah, just took a trip to South Africa, and from what I've always read, that South Africa's always been a real hotbed of boxing, but not so much lately. So maybe he can do something down there with his promotional power and his money. He's got money, you know that. George St. Pierre is back in the news. He says his decision to take a break from MMA was influenced in part because the UFC getting back him on the additional testing through the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association. Hendricks ended up declining that offer to do the same regimen that St. Pierre did before that fight, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, GSP said not pointing any fingers, but says it bothered me greatly. It was one of the reasons I decided to step aside. I tried to change things, and unfortunately, maybe for money reasons, maybe for image, they were not ready to do that. I tried to bring about change in a very diplomatic way, and it didn't work. So it's unfortunate, but I believe it will happen sooner or later. And he's basically trying to campaign for stricter regulations and a cleaner sport. And the UFC didn't really back him to his satisfaction, so interesting.
Well, you know, that was interesting because Dana's comment on that was it's very difficult to get two fighters to agree on who's going to be doing the testing. I mean, we've stepped outside the realm of the State Athletic Commission supervising it, so it's like George would say, well, I want my people doing it. You know, that Hendricks, no, I don't like that. I want my people doing it. It opens a can of worms a bit, I think.
Well. We also had some response to GSP's comments from a, quote, shocked Lorenzo Fertitta. He says that we've made it, this is Lorenzo's quote, we've made it clear for presentations at various athletic commissions that we advocate the most rigorous drug testing possible. We've actually advocated for harsher penalties for PEDs. Maybe George didn't understand the level of drug testing Nevada was doing. they are the ultimate authority that handles drug testing, medicals, and everything else. And they are very capable. Obviously, we know there are some athletes that do cheat, but we are catching them. Hopefully, because the penalties for being caught have gone to the extent they have, monetary suspensions, revocations of licenses, it's convincing these guys it's not worth it. So, that's his response. But to me, it doesn't wash, because they said in the past, Dana said, oh yeah, these guys that are doing TRT, we're going to personally test the shit out of them. So if you're just going to say, oh, hands off, it's the athletic commission, then how come you're testing these guys with the TRT situation, not for everything else on your own? If you can do it in the other countries as your own body that's responsible for it, then you can do it in your home country.
All right, well, what about Bigfoot? Who tested Bigfoot? Was that the UFC or was that an athletic commission in Australia, you know?
That's what Fertitta pointed to. He actually mentioned the screenings that they have to do overseas. And that was one that they did in Antonio Silva.
Mm-hmm.
That was a TRT situation, too, so it makes you wonder, like, why are they so hardcore going after these guys for TRT and testosterone and not so much everything else. Like, our recent guest, Mark Pavlich, he hates TRT, so maybe the UFC is kind of leaning toward that attitude. Anyway, big tragedy in MMA this week. Mauricio Zingano, the trainer and husband of UFC fighter, women's fighter now, Kat Zingano, was found dead at his Colorado home Monday night. And it looks like a suicide, apparently, from what I've read, the hanging. He was, it was January 13th, unlucky 13th, thrown in there, too. And apparently, I guess there was a breakup of his marriage with his wife there, and you know, he had a successful business, but just obviously was not thought he had much to live for some reason. But there's a big community out there with her family and the students that he had that are coming together to support the family. And just a tragic story. It's unfortunate somebody gets to that point.
Yeah.
Like, he was a very young guy, undefeated actually in MMA 2-0 with like one draw. And I think we might have interviewed him at one time back in the day.
So it's official that Kat was getting divorced from him? I hadn't heard that.
Well, the very first article on this mentioned that there was something about the breakup of his marriage. And this is citing MMAweekly.com. Obviously there's going to be an autopsy and all that. It's not official. But that's there's been some different articles releasing bit by bit what the real story is. But he was a third-degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and is one of the few to train with Master Helio Gracie, as well as Brixen Rorian, Roper, Relson, and Royce. You know, you're supposed to pronounce those with an eighth, right? Hickson, Horry, Holker, Helson, and Royce. And he did have a son with his wife, Kat, so it's just tragic. And that was a pretty young guy.
Yeah, that's a strange story, how someone could be so disciplined in his training and then fall apart in another area. It's just an awful tragedy. Can't explain it.
And another strange and tragic story from Japan. From an arcade in Foshan 2 months ago. A guy named Ruzhen, Z-H-E-N, 29 years old. He is in debt to a hospital several hundred thousand yuan in hospital fees. And all started when he went to get his phone fixed, and he was bored, so he went into an arcade hall. And he put on a glove and started playing on a boxing simulator. But he actually hit the target with more force than was appropriate for this article. And 3 days later, after he went to sleep, he woke up unable to move or talk. His family and wife have been at his bedside in the hospital feeding him ever since. And this is the diagnosis. Doctors say the force of his punch gave him congenital stenosis of the cervical spinal canal. This sounds painful.
Has anyone ever heard of anything like this? Wow.
It can't
say that I have.
Wow, that is.
Being hospitalized, but showing no signs of recovery.
Okay, what is this guy's background? Did he come from a boxing background?
There's no details like that. He was bored, punched a machine, and it's a freak of nature situation, I guess. I don't know. It's one of those facts of strange. And it's also a caution, I guess. Don't fuck around with those boxing things. They hurt you.
Wow. Amazing story.
Don't hit it harder than you're supposed to. Okay. Interesting story from the UFC. Martin Campman in the news. He's following ESPN's footsteps. He's been burned out and he's taking an extended leave of absence. He's been active for 10 years. He's an MMA fighter, and obviously for a long time. He says, from MMA junkie, I've had a lot of tough fights, and even the ones I win, I sometimes make them tough for myself. I'm just taking a long break, no rush to get back in the cage, let my body recover and get good. I'm just going to kick back, and whenever I feel like coming back, I'll come back. I've had my share of concussions, and sometimes I didn't take the correct amount of time, and that catches up to you. I feel okay, I've been better, but I feel I want to take a break. So that's why I'm taking a break. I'm not retiring yet. I'm trying to pursue other things right now, too. I'm not training so much. I've been in the gym coaching some guys, probably going to corner some guys coming out. And also, I'm starting an affiliation program to certify trainers and gyms under me, so I'm helping the MMA program. I think when I make the decision not to fight, I'm not going to fight at all. I'm just taking a break. And I think in the past I should have taken more breaks because it catches up to you. Once I retire, I'm going to retire. Just stick to it once you make the decision.
I think that's a very smart move on his part. I think that's the best thing he could do right now. He's had a couple fights, a couple very tough fights he came up short in, and see where he's at next year.
And his record is 20 wins and 7 losses, but he's coming off back-to-back losses to Johnny Hendricks and Carlos Condit. And Condit was the fifth time in his professional career that he's been stopped due to strikes. And speaking of stepping away, Keith Kaiser, surprise. The executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which you'd think would be a cushy, easy job, pays well. He's been doing it for 8 years. He just resigned last Friday. And he's going to go back to the state attorney general's office as a deputy attorney general. Just down the hall from his current office, so not a big move for him. But interesting. Interesting that he would choose to do that. Maybe the politics got too much for him. He said, I can go back to my chosen profession as a lawyer. Last year we had the biggest boxing event ever. And we had the second and third biggest MMA events in the United States, so I'm very happy with my time there, but it's almost one of those things that if you don't leave now, when are you going to leave? And the search for his successor begins immediately. He actually replaced Mark Ratner as executive director, and now Ratner works for Zuffa. He's 47 years old, Kaiser, and hasn't really made too much of a stink during his time there. Obviously, there's been some judging issues out there. But, you know, he hasn't really looked like a fool in any certain scenarios. Hasn't really done anything too risky. But he says, asked if he had any regrets. No, not really. Nobody's perfect. The commission's by no means perfect, but we have a great reputation for a good reason. There's always squabbles. Oh, I lost it. There it is. Squabbles here and there, but that's a part of the job like this, where a difference of opinions are not a bad thing. They may lead to arguments, but that gets you to a higher standard, having the debate and the discussion. And one of the things he kind of was proud of is that they busted a lot of people for abuse. He says, we popped more than 100 guys for substance abuse. I certainly wish the usage rate had been lower. I wish everyone was clean and we didn't catch anybody because there was no one to catch. But that's not reality. But I do think usage is down because of the deterrent effect, and partly because the public and media really harping on this stuff and people saying, hey guys, you're playing a dangerous game here. And he says, if I had a magic wand, that would be what I'd wish for. The performance-enhancing drug usage would go all the way down to zero. Hopefully it will someday.
Hey, guys, I just want to quickly interject. You're getting some breaking news here. Apparently, Jose Suleiman, president of the World Boxing Council, just passed away tonight at the age of 82. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Rich and I saw him last year at the Marciano statue dedication. And I mean, again, just I got the feed from Rick Glazer. I'm not sure if you're Facebook friends with him, Rich, but he posts a lot of boxing info on there. And he just put it on here, and I'll read it, a quote. Jose Suleiman has passed away this evening at the age of 82 in Los Angeles at the UCLA Medical Center. Jose had been president of WBC since 1975, and then he was just putting, like, you know, his condolences. And the one thing that I noted on there, I said, you know, I didn't always agree with some of the things that he did, and I know for a long time was a Suleiman thing. I mean, basically, the day Mike Tyson got released from prison, Jose made him the number one contender, because he was a Don King boy, and it was like, it's just, I mean, Louis Tyson barely hadn't had the shackles off yet, and he was number one contender. So I always didn't agree with some of the things that he did, but I'll never forget how gracious he was and how much of a gentleman he was and how well-spoken he was with that Marciano statue dedication last year. And, you know, the one thing I remember, and, you know, when he got in, when he got up, you know, short little fat man, and he was talking about the rainstorms that had soaked the day before. And then he remarked how beautiful that Sunday was. And he goes, it was just God's way of cleansing the earth so it could be nice and clean for when we put the statue down. And now I want to, this is all for my condolences to his family and his friends and a lot of the people that he worked with over the years.
Yeah, our thoughts go to the family, and it's pretty tough. But he lived a long life. He did a lot with the WBC. Another guy we saw at that celebration was Nate Paz. Talked to him for a little while outside the... he was like the last one to leave, I think, that night from the stadium. He really always wanted that WBC belt, he said, at one point that day. It was very important.
I think I have one of the pictures that I have was when they were giving him the WBC belt. I remember I was watching one of his fights later in his career when he was having his last title shot. I think it was against Eric Luka. And he was like, I'm going for the WBC belt. And they're like, why the WBC belt, Vinny? He's like, because it's green, and I want a green belt to match my couch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's tough. Sad news. I'm sure he'll have a celebrated funeral. And You know, he's, I know he's, I think he's got a son, Junior, in the same name, who's, who's done some public appearances already in Brockton related to Rocky. So I know the WBC is in good hands in that family. And, did you catch Friday Night Fights Friday, Tony?
I did. You know, I caught a little bit of it when I was running in and out of the room, but I was watching it, and I put up my info on it. But I didn't get to really sit down and watch the whole card from start to finish. I did want to catch the, what was his name, Jesus Christ. He's really getting old. But, Zahir Rahim fight, and it just wasn't that interesting. You know, it was a fight that, you know, you just kept it at a slow pace, which is the reason that he never really became a big-time name in the sport. Guy beat Eric Morales, and never could be the big deal. Just because, you know, you have trouble drawing tickets.
You're coming in really low tonight.
Let me turn my phone around.
Whoa, there it is.
I had my speaker facing away from me.
Yeah, well, in the Friday Night Fights main event, we had Juan Antonio Rodriguez basically just stalked his opponent, Vicente, for 8 rounds, and won a majority decision, which is odd. I didn't think it looked much like it's a tie, but one judge had it a tie. And the other two judges had it exactly the same, 77-75, so 2 points separated this fight. I thought it was a walk for Rodriguez, but his original opponent was actually Arash Usmani, who actually pulled out with an injury. Would have been a good fight for him to prove he could step right in and face Barthelemy again. But we had to pull out. As you said, Rahim outboxed Bayan Jardal and won by a sweeping margin there. Probably the only controversy of the night was in the Latif KO fight, even though it really wasn't that bad. He got a 6-round TKO over Jonte Willis, who has a record of 9-8-1. KO'd his 20-0, 16 knockouts. He got a ref stoppage. And Willis seemed like he could have kept fighting, but, you know, he's not defending himself, so what are you going to do? Stop. There's a ref. You got to think of the fighter. He seemed like he was in a real shitty mood after that. I wanted to go the distance at least.
Yeah, but with the record that he's got, he's the kind of guy you sort of wonder what he's going to do, if he's going to keep going, and why would he want to. But yeah, I don't see a lot of controversy in that one either.
Well, you didn't see that kind of broadcast on when they were stopping it.
Yeah. Well, the boxer known as the Russian Mike Tyson is still in some deep trouble. Magomed Abdusalamov, he's 32 years old. He's still in the hospital. He can now move one of his fingers and his legs, but only a very little bit. He can't speak yet, and most of his family hasn't been able to see him in a few months. They actually had to remove a portion of his skull, and he's lost a lot of weight. They're actually really looking into that November 2nd boxing match that put him in that position. This article actually goes into some detail I'd never heard before this, but, you know, this is seriously bad for New York boxing. If you look at how this fight was treated. Number one, he broke his left hand in the first round, and by the sixth round, you could see his face was swollen, and he asked his corner at one point, "Is my face swollen?" And he had difficulty closing his mouth. I watched this fight live. I you know, parts of it anyway. And I remember him talking to his corner about his face. But nobody stopped the contest who had the authority to do it. Went the full 10 rounds, and he had a broken hand, a nose, broken nose, and some facial bone break. And this is the worst part, okay? So he has blood in his post-fight urine test. The state inspector at that point advised him to go to the hospital. You go to the hospital, not let's get an ambulance off the parking lot and get you in it. They had two of them standing by, right there. The inspector said, go hail a cab and ask the cabbie where to go for a hospital. This is the worst part. I never heard this before, really. So 10:30 p.m. Saturday night, there's no cabs outside the garden. The son of Abdu Salamov's manager said, it was horrible. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to find a cab. Bakhtar, meanwhile, his condition was getting worse, and he pukes on the sidewalk. So finally, the manager's son gets a cab from a couple that just got one. Takes it away from them, basically, to tell them the situation. So then they arrive at the crowded Roosevelt Hospital emergency room, 25 blocks away, where this guy who's having a brain situation has to wait. Somebody advised the entourage, get this is the worst, to step outside, call 911, and ask for an ambulance to take them to the same emergency room to get faster service. Can you imagine that?
I mean, it sounds like a bad movie. I mean, the more I hear this,
what?
How does this work? When the fight card is on, I know that they're required to have trauma units on during the card, correct? And then when the fight's over, the ambulances just leave?
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
So at this point, when they told him that, Abdu Salamov vomited again and passed out. The manager arrived, made a fuss, and the fighter was finally able to be seen by doctors who found he had a blood clot in his brain. And he had to have surgery right away, suffered a stroke, and was put into that medically induced coma. The worst part is his family has a lawyer, but they can't file a notice of claim until Abdu Salamov's wife is formally appointed as his guardian. But that is brutal.
I'm not a doctor, but you know, in a lot of situations like that, time is of the essence. I mean, the quicker they get them there, the better. And this is sickening. It's sickening.
Yeah, very bad. Anyway, it's not all bad news. We have a great guest tonight. I'm going to connect him here any second. We have Francisco Palacios, a big-time pro boxer. Apparently, Matt Janowski said he had a recent flight was canceled, but he's working on something else. So we'll find out what he's got in the works, if he knows yet. But as I said earlier, he's got a pretty interesting record. Trying to find him here. Tom, did you see the fights last night, UFC fights?
Yes. And we'll wait till we start going over it and I can give you my comments.
I just wanted to make sure that he's can hear his things. This is good. Francisco Palacio. You guys have to ask 8 questions each this time, by the way.
Hello.
Hello, Francisco.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Rabble Rouse from Bergeron. We also have on the line Tony the Tornado Pinnegal and the guy we like to call Psychic Tom Paget.
Good evening, Francisco.
Hey, how are you, Pat?
How's everything okay? Yeah. Tell us what you got going on these days.
Well, I just got out of the contract with DKP, so I'm a free man, and I'm on my advisors are on Victory Sports and Entertainment, so it actually is pretty going pretty well right now, so just hoping to get a fight soon. I was supposed to fight January 25th, but the card got canceled for don't know what reasons, but it got canceled.
Right. So is there anybody out there right now that you really want to fight?
Well, I need a tune-up fight just to shake out this rust, because it's been 16 months since I've been in the ring. And then after that, I want everybody. I want the world. I want them all. I want all the big names, everybody. Hernandez, I want Hulk. I want Lodi Chick again. I want everybody. Guillermo Jones, I want them all. I know in an even pavement, they can't beat me. Like, when it's lopsided and I got to go to their country and it's under their promotion and all that, well, I have no chance unless I knock them out and I might get a draw. But, like, when it's the evil level, and none of them can beat me. They know that. That's why nobody wants to fight me.
Yeah, I'm looking on your record here, and I see that you had the only 2 losses of your career were close decisions. One of them a split decision, one of them a close unanimous decision to Krzysztof Walarczyk. And I remember he fought Steve USS Cunningham twice. I know Steve from Philadelphia. And I remember their first fight was over in Krzysztof's home country, which seems like he never wants to abandon at any time. And I was thinking that when you were talking, right, to go over there and fight, you got to knock him out to get a draw. And
exactly.
A split decision loss in the one card. How accurate were those scores?
In the first fight?
Yeah.
Well, in the first fight, I could say that this my belief that he probably won maybe 2 rounds, were the 2 rounds that I took off, because the rest of the fight I outboxed him. I did deep box circles around him. I was tagging him. I landed more punches than he threw. And they gave me that split decision. So the people from Poland wrote a petition to the WBC. The actual people from Poland, the fans from Poland wrote a petition to the WBC to get the rematch. The rematch was set, and my first fight was April 2nd, 2011. That was the same day my son was born. My first son was born 5 hours before I stepped into the ring, and just like everybody saw me once. Even the people from Poland saw me once. I still got fans from Poland and they write me to this day. They always want me. They always sending me stuff through Facebook, email, Twitter, whatever. And they asked for a petition and they gave me the rematch. And Don had told me that he was going to bring it over here, and we had to go back over there. And the second fight, the fight was a lot closer because I changed my style. I changed from being a boxer puncher. I turned into a fighter that I said the only way I'm going to beat this guy is if I go over there and knock him out. So that was my mentality, go over there, knock him out, and like the first 4 rounds, that was that's what I was doing. I was tagging him. He ended up with a face looking like he had paint, like the oh, like the Road Warriors from wrestling. Like he had a swollen eye. His face was all black, and I didn't have too much of a scratch. And the 10th round, he hit me with a blind shot that really, really rocked me. That was it. Like, that was the only thing that he really did to me. And, I mean, I guess that's what gave him the fight. But, like, it could have gone either way. It could have been a draw. I still don't believe it was a unanimous decision. A lot of people don't believe there was a unanimous decision, but I'm a man. I don't make no excuses for anything. So, I guess I have to live with that decision that they gave him. So, everybody who knows Diablo Blodarczyk, he's a great fighter. He's a warrior. And everybody who knows him, they know that nobody really, like, unless the only two losses he has are like with great fighters. And everybody knows that he knocks everybody out, whoever stands in front of him and whoever gets caught with one of his big left hands, everybody will get knocked out. He just finished knocking out that Russian guy, the Olympic gold medalist. He knocked him out, and then he knocked out Fargo Mendy, which he fought him in Chicago. So I hope if I ever get a chance to fight him again, we can fight in the States.
Yeah, he owes you by now one fight over here, doesn't he? I mean, you gave him, if you want to believe these Polish judges, you at least gave him two close fights, so.
I'm a fighter just like he is, and he's a great fighter to me, and actually he's a really good person. Like, I got a total respect for him. I don't have nothing against him, but another fight between me and him, I believe the fight, the actual record is 1-1, you know what I mean? So we split, so a rubber band match should be really, really good for us.
Well, you know, Francisco, the fact that you picked up a lot of fans over there in Poland, that says a lot. That really says a lot, because naturally they're going to be cheering for their guy, but a lot of fans are honest about things. So, that says volumes about the effort you had over there.
And it was a great experience. Like, the people from Poland, I love them. Like, they treat me like if I was part of their country. I love them over there, and like, I wouldn't mind going fighting over there again. But I would like to fight somebody, you know what I mean? That it won't have to be a local fighter like Diablo, you know what I mean? If I fight Diablo, I would like to fight him. I'll fight him anywhere else except for Poland, you know what I mean? I'll fight him in Germany, I'll fight him in Alaska, I'll fight him in the North Pole. But not in Poland, because they're going to protect him, you know what I mean?
And unless we could get three judges from some other country, maybe.
Or three judges from Puerto Rico and Steve Smoker and
there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So that will even up the score, you know what I mean? And with a promoter, it'll be a split promoter, not his promoter, you know.
There we go.
He's a great fighter, and I got total respect for him. We went 24 rounds, and my respect to him is high, really high, and I believe he's a great fighter and everything. I just believe that I'm a better fighter than he is. No matter what the record says.
That's right, because you can be able to get one judge over there to vote in your favor. That situation.
The both referees that I had was Italian, and they were, like, I mean, I don't criticize, but it wasn't too much in my favor.
Now, would you say Blodarczyk was the toughest guy you ever faced, or was there somebody else in your tougher?
To tell you the truth, my hardest fight that I believe to record, his name is Zach Page.
Yeah, I see 14 and 18 when you fought him.
Yeah, Zach Page was like the hardest fight that I had. I took the fight in 2 weeks' notice because I looked at his record and I was like, this is nothing. This is that, whatever. And he gave me a hell of a fight. He gave me a run for my money. I won, But it was a hell of a fight. It was a fight that really showed me that I could be in the ring with anybody.
Now, how did you first get into boxing?
Well, I used to play basketball. I played basketball in college. I played for North Carolina Central. I played a couple of years before I broke my ankle. Then I transferred to school because I lost my scholarship and stuff like that. So when I transferred to school, I started gaining a lot of weight. And I was like almost 240. And one of my buddies was like, come to the gym, let's take a workout. And I was like, nah, I don't want to fight. I don't want to box. I don't want to do that. My brother used to do that. That's too much dedication for me. You know what I mean? I'm not in that mood right now. I don't want to do none of that. And he convinced me. Somehow he convinced me to go into the gym. And he went to the gym, and this one guy that was getting ready for his first pro fight, he started running his mouth. Oh, I'll beat everybody up in here, this and that, blah, blah. And I started laughing because, you know, I'm a little smart ass. So I started laughing. And he was like, oh, what you laughing at? I'll get you too and knock your ass out like that really quick like that. Excuse my language, but that's exactly what he said to me. And I was like, give me 2 weeks and we'll see what happens. So in 2 weeks, I ran every day. I ran for 14 days straight. I lost probably like 10 pounds. I was down to like 225 or something like that. He was like 215. And when I went in there, I always been a fighter all my life. My brother was a boxer. My brother was a really great boxer in Puerto Rico. So I learned how to fight because of my brother. My brother used to either you fight this guy or I'm gonna beat you up. So I was like, well, I know what you could do. So I'd rather fight this guy better than fighting you. So I had to fight his friends. I had to fight everybody as well. And the hood that I grew up in, it was in a really good neighborhood. So like I used to always fight. I used to always have the fight in me, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I didn't like getting hit. So when I went in the ring with him, man, like he didn't even say nothing to me. I was like, 2 weeks up, come on, let's spar now. I went in there, and it was like kind of like 3 weeks before his fight, and I started sparring with him. And in the second round, I hit him with a left hook right hand and knocked him down, and he didn't want to spar with me no more. And I was like, all right, this is for me then. And I started boxing in 2000, and so that's how I got into the sport. Cheers.
Yeah, sometimes that's what it takes. You know, a lot of people don't realize how natural it is for just any human to pick up a fighting sport, be it martial arts or boxing. It's in your nature to throw a punch. You know, you don't realize it, but you know, sometimes you get that instinct in you, and then you string a couple things together, and you realize, oh man, I could be really good at this. You know, and then it's just about working hard. What's the most important thing that you do to get ready for a big fight?
You're breaking up right now. I'm sorry. I can't hear you well.
What's the most important thing that you do to get ready for a big fight?
Well, I've always been ever since I started boxing, and I'm a personal trainer right now, so I've been doing personal training for probably 8-9 years. I wrote a little book on personal training and everything and workout exercises and stuff like that. I always keep myself in some type of shape. I never go up more than 215. I'm always in the gym, and I take care of my body. I don't drink, I don't smoke. You know, I got a kid that he's about to be 3 years old, and I got another baby on the way, a daughter coming on the way that she should be due by the time of my birthday. So it's like, I mean, me and the mama is not together, so I try to keep myself as much positive and level-headed and tranquil because I want to be there for my kids, regardless of boxing or whatever. So I keep myself clean, and like I just believe in God a lot and let him lead my way, and I guess that's the way I carry my life, and I stay inside the gym, you know. Like, that's what I do with my life the whole time. I keep my body clean, and that's how my body's always in some type of shape.
Yeah. How about fighters of all time and right now?
My favorite fighter of all time? Favorite fighter of all time is Hector Macho Camacho.
Oh, awesome. They had a son on that show, actually. It's one of the most listened to broadcasters that it had. 20,000.
Yeah,
over 20,000.
Yeah, well, I know him since I was 9 years old, and may he rest in peace. And, like, that's why my uniforms are always, like, flary with the skirt looking and always looking all like that. And my boxing style was, when I started boxing, was more like a Camacho style, but I'm a little bit more aggressive, and I like the heat a little bit more, you know what I mean? I like being inside the heat and trading punches every once in a while, you know what I mean?
And how about these days?
Excuse me?
How about these days? Who out there do you like these days?
These days? I like Mayweather just because he's a dedicated fighter. He's the best fighter out there. He's great to me. I think everybody argues with me when I say this, but I think he's the greatest fighter of all time. I don't argue back. I got my own beliefs. I like him a lot. I really like him a lot. And I like, you know, like different kind of fighters. Like Lennox Lewis was a really good fighter to me too. I like Lennox Lewis a lot too. He had a big jab and big right hand behind it. So, and and Sergio Martinez. I love Sergio Martinez too. That's the type of style that I like because I'm a natural southpaw, but I learned how to fight right-handed. I fight both ways. I fight orthodox and I fight southpaw. It depends how I feel in the middle of the fight, I decide how I'm going to fight. And those are really the fighters that I really enjoy watching and I like a lot. Like, I keep myself. Also, I like from an old school fighter, Finito Lopez.
All right. How about role models growing up? Anybody that really helped you out big time, either inside or outside of the sport?
Well, my role model always was my brother. May he rest in peace. He's the one who taught me how to be a man, how to stick up for myself, and how to be the man of who I am nowadays.
What do you love most about boxing?
I love the lights, I love the crowd, I love everything about boxing. Boxing to me, the only thing that I don't like is the corruptness of, like, hometown decisions, and they don't really look at the bad decisions. That's the only thing I don't like about boxing, but everything else I love about boxing.
Yeah, we've had so many discussions about bad decisions, what to do about it, but I don't think we asked boxers themselves enough. What would you do in that situation if you were in charge of boxing altogether and you could make a change?
You're kind of breaking up a lot. I can't really understand too well.
Oh, sorry. Can I call you right back? Sometimes that clears it up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, call me back.
Everybody else hear me good?
Oh, I can hear you. I can hear you fine.
All right.
Hello.
All right. How's that?
Yeah, I hear you better now.
Right.
Oh, Bobby Hunter.
That worked. All right. So what would you do if you had a chance to be in charge of boxing for a day to change stuff like that with the bad decisions?
What would I do if I had a chance to what?
To change that stuff with boxing, to you know, be in charge of the sport for a day.
I would make sure that everybody get a fair chance. Just get a fair chance of the decision, get a fair chance of how how the world should be, you know, how to fight it should be. You know what I mean? None of that dirty stuff, none of the garbage that goes around boxing, none of the, you know, all the, like, just give it a fair chance. Give it a fair chance, and don't look at the person as, oh, this is the guy from this promotion, and I want this guy to win. No, everybody should be like neutral. Like, you're gonna be a neutral ground.
Right. And do you have a favorite punch?
I got a favorite punch.
Yeah. Oh,
my favorite punch is the one that that knocks you out. So I'll end the fight right now. I have knocked out people with my left hand. I have knocked out people with my right hand. So anything that comes out a crisp, clean fight, clean punch, it's my favorite punch. I'm a hooker. I'm a left hook guy. You know what I mean? I'm a hooker.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. The jab, yeah. Left hook.
Yeah, that's right there. One of my favorite punches. Is my left hook is my favorite punch.
Do a lot of damage with one of those. I did a lot of damage to myself. Now, too many of those one day.
Yeah, you rely on that one punch always, it's like, oh man, you want to keep on throwing it and throwing it and throwing it and throwing it. And
yeah.
As long as I try to develop like any other punch too. You know what I mean? I try to I'm always working on something new. You know, I got a great team. Like me and my trainer's been together for the last 8 years. And we have a good bond. We treat each other with respect. We enjoy being around each other, and we try to work hard together. You know what I mean? So everybody gets better.
All right. Now, what is the? Do you live in New York now still?
No. I live in Orlando right now. I live in Orlando right now. Yeah, I moved from Puerto Rico. I live in Orlando.
New York, right?
Yeah, I was born in New York.
So how much time did you spend there? Not much, or?
Not much. I moved from New York to Puerto Rico when I was turning 3 years old, 3 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm.
So you're down in sunny Florida.
Now I live in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah. So what's that like, training-wise and everything? Pretty nice?
Well, I mean, whenever we go into training camp, we bring in people from other from New York or from different places. Whatever sparring we're looking for, we look and we find people from different sides of the country, and either Puerto Rico or whatever. Like, there's not too many big guys in Puerto Rico, so we really
Right. Well, anytime you want some Rocky Four experiences, you come up to my neck of the woods in New Hampshire here, and you can run through the snow up the mountains.
I lived in Marquette, and when I was an amateur, and that was way too cold for me up there. and 50 degrees over here right now, and it's freezing to me up here.
Yeah, we were lucky this week. It was a high of 40 a couple days.
Oh, high of 40. Oh, my God.
The snow started melting, so we were happy. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I like to see the snow, but I just don't like what comes behind the snow, the cold weather.
Yeah, you get used to it after a while. I lived out in Vegas for a year, and the biggest thing that shocked me about living out there was that there was no change in the leaves, you know, and it did get cold at night in a certain season, but it just blew my mind that, you know, there was no bugs at all. That was another weird thing about no bugs, like mosquitoes.
Oh, really?
It's kind of weird to me to see that here.
That's the most thing we got over here is mosquitoes. Every time it rains, they get full of mosquitoes over here.
Oh yeah,
I gotta be putting cream on my baby so he won't get all rashed up and stuff like that.
Yeah, You guys got big mosquitoes down there.
Yeah, yeah. They bite hard as heck, man.
Stand outside, you cut weight. So, is there anything in the works right now? Are you got any names in the mix? Who are you gonna fight next? Or
we were supposed to fight. Like I said, we were supposed to fight January 25th. We were supposed to get like a little tune-up fighter. We had somebody. His name was Basic Johnson. He's a journeyman, but he's a tough guy. You know what I mean? And that's what we were looking for. Somebody who give us rounds and stuff like that, so we could shake out the rust. We were getting some grades from some elite fighters. I was sparring with Roland Bryant. I was sparring with James McGirt Jr. And we were just getting it. Like I said, I haven't put on a pair of gloves in 8 months, and I haven't fought in the ring in 16 months. You know what I mean? So it's been a long time for me since I've already been, like, in the boxing game again. Like, I'm always around the boxing, but I was never inside. I was in training. I wasn't hitting the bag. I wasn't doing none of that. You know what I mean? I was just going to the gym, working out physically, and just taking care of everything I had to take care of. And then, you know, then this opportunity came along, and I decided to put it back on. And I was trying to shake out the rust with the sparring and everything, but it was coming along great, but it wasn't like, you know, you get frustrated once you know what you can do and stuff ain't coming out. So, but it was coming along, and I was getting ready. I was 2 pounds away from the weight on Wednesday. I was 202, feeling good, and I started feeling strong, and it's just, that fight got canceled, the whole card got canceled, so it was like, whoop.
Yeah, that stinks. Rayford, I think, is a guy I interviewed way back in the day, a couple times when I first started my website. He's an interesting character. He's had a lot of fights that should have gone his way. Talk about hometown decisions.
Yeah. So he's a good fighter. He's a good, tough guy, you know what I mean? So it was good. It would have been a good work. I had to be careful because, just like I was telling everybody was asking, you know, what you think about this fight? This fight is going to be nothing to you. I was like, this fight is the hardest fight of my life. This fight is the hardest fight of my life, and this fight could change everything. You know what I mean? And they're like, but look at his record. I was like, yeah, don't get it on. Don't go with that record thing, whatever. You know what I mean? Because it has nothing to do with the record. It's all that it got to do with the type of fighter he is. He comes out swinging hard punches and all that, and then, you know what I mean, if he catches you, just like anybody catches you sleeping, guess what? It's going to be lights out for you. So this was a really hard fight for me. Me coming off a 16-month layoff, and I was looking forward to it because this is what I live for. You know what I mean? I live for these fights. I live for fights like this for me to have to fight. I like to fight. You know what I mean? I mean, I like to knock people out, but I like to fight. I like to earn the knockout, not just go out there and hit somebody and they just by with the wind, they'll fall down and, oh my God, he knocked them out. No, I want them to feel what I got to knock them out. You know what I mean? So, I was really looking forward to it, but, you know, God has stuff, I guess, and plans for me, and I guess that's the way of him. He didn't want me to fight this fight, and that's why they canceled this fight. So I don't know what happened. I don't get involved in that, all that politics stuff. I just do what they tell me.
We might need to start talking to the promoters out there in Chicago, because that's the only place Vladarczyk seems to like to fight often when he comes to the United States.
Yeah, I would love to fight him in Chicago. I would love to fight him anywhere. You know what I mean? I would love to fight him anywhere in the States, anywhere else in the world except for Poland.
Yeah.
I love Poland. I would go to Poland, but not to fight him. I'll fight somebody else in Poland and fight him and the rest around the world.
There you go. Yeah, make a deal with them. Say, I'll fight on one of your undercards, somebody else, and then you got to come over here and fight me in Chicago. They had a nice Friday night fight from White Sox Field there out in the open in the summer last season, so, or in the fall, I forget. But that was on ESPN Friday Night Fights. And I don't think he was on that card, but that would be great. Fight outdoors in a big stadium. I thought that was a really good atmosphere for a fight.
Yeah.
Out on the field.
I think Cotto, I don't know if they came to agreement already, but Cotto and Martinez are supposed to be fighting in the new Mets stadium.
Oh yeah.
And I guess that was that could be a good thing. That's a good venue because especially in the day before the Puerto Rican Day Parade. So.
Yeah, that's what they used to do back in the day, in boxing. They hit right outside. All the time,
and
big stadium.
I would love to bring those type of fight back. You know what I mean? I would love to bring those type of fight back. I would love to bring those type of fighters that everybody fights everybody. They don't dodge nobody. They'll fight them 10 times, win or lose. You know what I mean? They keep on fighting each other. So those are the type of fighters that's what I believe this is for. You know what I mean? I love this sport. I love this game, and I would never change anything about it. But I would like to. The only thing I would change about is to give us a fair opportunity.
Right. Well, I keep saying, you know, there's got to be a recourse for a guy to get screwed, because it's one thing to get screwed, but then when everybody knows about it, and like the Manny Pacquiao Timothy Bradley fight. The WBC reviewed it, you know, they went to that step to review it, and they found that it was a bad decision, but nothing got done about it.
Yep.
You know, and that's, obviously that's a world champion, he's making money anyway, but, you know, when that happens to a young guy, I always go to the Arash Usmani-Barthelemy fight, and I actually like Barthelemy, I saw him fight in Vegas a few times before that fight, and I was kind of rooting for him, but I thought he lost that fight. And they give it to Barthelemy, and he gets all the breaks after that. You know, he gets the opportunity to fight for the title, and Arash Usmani had to pull out of his last fight for an injury, and he's no closer to a title shot. You know, he should have won that fight.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people work so hard to get to that opportunity, you know what I mean? And once they get to that opportunity, they get screwed. I mean, you know what I mean? And that kind of takes a lot of people's momentum off of the you know what I mean, off of the game. But I mean, I look at it in a whole sort of different aspect, because I look at it as like, this gives me more hunger. I mean, yeah, it gives me a defeat on my record when it shouldn't have been a defeat, but it gives me more hunger. It gives me more hunger for me to go in there and do what I got to do to take care of my business. You know what I mean?
Right. Leave it in the hands of the judges.
I tried out a second fight with Blodarczyk, and I mean, I changed my whole style. I was the aggressor while he was the boxer. You know what I mean? And it should have been the other way around. How I thought I beat him 10-2 in the first fight. I boxed him all around. He was going crazy. He didn't know what else to do.
All right. Well, is there anybody you want to thank or give a shout out to out there?
Man, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank God. You know what I mean? I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity again for me to be back in the boxing world and getting another opportunity to achieve my dreams and my promise that I made to my brother when I buried him in 2004, 2 days before my birthday. I want to give thanks to Victory Sports and Entertainment for giving me the opportunity and the faith of signing me and giving me another way of you know what I mean, another opportunity to go back into the ring and box again. And just My team, my mom, my kids, you know, just my life, you know, my life. And like everybody who got to do that, everybody who gives me the positive way of thinking, to give me the opportunity of, like, making me believe that, you know, not believe, but make or showing me the real way of who I am, and just anybody who has confidence in me. I mean, it's just, it's like, I don't really know how to put it, but as you guys know how to put it, what I'm saying. I understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
Well, it's very enlightening, that's for sure. Is there any message you want to deliver to the boxing community out there about what you're going to do this year?
Well, to all the cruiserweights, the Wizard is back, and the Wizard is coming for y'all, for all of y'all. Doesn't matter who it is, I'm coming for all of y'all. If y'all are the champions y'all say y'all are, if y'all whoever y'all say you are, y'all give me the opportunity and show me. You can show me by beating me on a fair ground. You know what I mean? Like on level, everybody leveled out. You know what I mean? Now, this is my promoter, I'm fighting here. And then, like, come on, let's fight. Let's make a fight, and let's do what we got to do. And if you beat me legally, like you're supposed to beat somebody, then, hey, my respect to you.
All right.
But
you know, Francisco, that is so old school. I just love that attitude. You know, that's old school stuff. Great.
I'm old school. I'm about to be 37 years old, so I'm trying to bring it back. I'm trying to bring it back, and I'm trying to show these young bugs how it's supposed to be done.
That's it, bud. Right. That's it.
Now, how do people find you online? Do you got any profiles out there?
Yeah, I got at Facebook is the Wizard Palacios, DA Wizard together, DA Wizard. Palacios together and Palacios and at Facebook on Instagram is the Wizard 13 and on Twitter is the Wizard Palacios, the Wizard together, DA Wizard together and Palacios. And I got my own website called Wizard Time Fitness where you can catch a couple of my interviews and you can get my book, order my book if you want to get my book so you can train like I train and stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us, chatting about your career and get a very good conversation.
Man, I appreciate it very much, man, and thank you for the opportunity, for giving me this opportunity and for letting the world, so I could show the world and tell the world that I'm back. And I'm ready for action. I'm ready for anybody. Just need one tune upside just so I can get back into the fighting mode, and then I'll fight anybody else. It doesn't matter who it is. Champion, I want them all. I want to start with Afro Lobby first, that he got the IBO title. I'll start with him after my tune up fight, and I know he got something scheduled on maybe I think it's April something he's fighting. So if they can't find a fighter for him, well, I'll be ready for him too.
All right. Cool. Well, I'll be watching you in touch, and when you're a world champion, don't forget us. Looking back on it.
Oh, most definitely. I never forget where I come from. I never forget the people who always encouraged me and who always got my back. I'm always there for them too, and. You know what I mean? I'm very happy that y'all gave me this opportunity. It's really a blessing for me, and God bless you guys for giving me this opportunity, man.
You too.
Good luck, Francisco. Good luck with everything going forward.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
There you go, Francisco Palacios. Talk about a guy who's grounded and focused. Pretty interesting. And Vladarchik, hey, come to Chicago. That's my message after that. Come back to Chicago. And I know the reason why he's been in Chicago so many times is they have a very huge Polish population. So it will almost be like fighting at home for him. And it will fulfill Francisco's hopes of fighting at home in his home country. So, guys still with us?
We're here.
All right, let's see what's next on the list. Mayweather circles. Looks like Amir Khan is the front runner for Mayweather's next fight. I don't like that fight, so what do you guys think about that fight? Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I never
could not hear you.
Oh, what do you guys think about Mayweather versus Amir Khan?
I think it's horrible.
Yeah.
I think it'll be the easiest write-up I ever did. Because normally you get a big fight like that, and I do a write-up, and when you expect it to be a competitive fight, you expect it to go a number of rounds. Like, a lot of the times, like, you know, I'm doing a Pacquiao fight. I think his last fight with Rios, I either predicted a late round stoppage. I think I predicted a late round stoppage, which didn't happen, but it still went late. Some of the Mayweather fights, even some of the fights that he won, I still had him going relatively late, if not the whole distance. The fight with Canelo, I had a stoppage and went the distance. This fight, 3 rounds maximum, and I'm not picking the upset either. I'll just let you know that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you
clarified it.
Yeah, like Mayweather, my word is weakness. You know, he doesn't have great punching power. You know, he stings you, and he might knock a guy out like a, Victor Ortiz, who was looking at the referee. Or he might stop a guy like he thoroughly broke body down. He knocked, down, Corrales, like 5 times. Never really knocks guys out. He doesn't have great power. You know, Mayweather, my word to me, has brittle hands. Things like that. Khan. Chin, and chin. Yen.
Yeah, I don't like it myself. I don't understand what Khan has done to earn the fight.
He got starts by Danny Garcia.
Right. I don't see why it's competitive, and I don't understand this period. But I think the reason it hasn't been signed is because Floyd knows that too, and he's probably looking for anything but that fight to put those rumors to rest that that's who he's fighting next, because I don't think he wants that fight either. I mean, he wants it because he knows he can win, but he knows money-wise it's not going to make as much sense as fighting somebody who's going to make it a little more competitive, or at least make people think it will be more competitive.
Make people want to buy it. The only reason that fight would sell is if Khan got a following from from a lot of his great Clinton fans that were holding against hope for the upset.
Right.
Only way that fight would sell even remotely close.
Wow. Going back to the UFC story here, this is an interesting one. The Diaz family is back in the news, and it's Nate rather than Nick now that's making a stink. And this is interesting. You know, it's not just a conduct issue here. I think there's a very deep respect and communication issue between him and Dana White here, because he went on Twitter, publicly on Twitter, and he says, at Dana White, at UFC, are full of shit. Didn't turn down anything. Supposedly he turned down a fight with Khabib, or Medoff, I think. Undefeated guy there. Dana White told some reporters out there that Nate Diaz turned down the fight. So he came out there and he says, not only he says they're full of shit, I didn't turn down anything, he also tweeted, F you, Jamie. So, that's a pretty hard line to be taken against the bosses. Whether it's, you know, true or not that they threw you under the bus, that's pretty bad. And we know his brother is more known for this kind of blow-up, but, you know, he's still a pretty big name in the UFC, and he's got a lot of fans. That's not the way to treat the people, you know, who are signing your paychecks if you want to stick around.
Yeah, that I guess is an understatement, Rich. Not exactly in
but
the
like
career
it.
Success
yeah,
manual.
I like it because I don't like how the UFC operates in certain situations. But you know, if he hasn't been fined or busted or anything yet, makes me think maybe it's true. Maybe he never really did turn it down. And he just put it out there like he did. And maybe that's why they haven't really done anything or slapped him on the wrist. It's interesting. We talked last week about Matt Brown saying, well, if we're going to pay a pay-per-view for women's fighting, they should at least be topless. Well, no surprises. His podcasting career is over, and he was fined. Or actually, he's spoken to from the UFC about their policy. And basically, they set him straight, and he's not going to be doing any more podcasting. Legit man shit that's been pulled out of the air. Yeah, just concentrate on fighting there. Don't quit your day job there. And Ronda Rousey, of course, had something to say about him, too. We didn't get to this last week. She just basically said, wait, who's Matt Brown? So, we're not going to give her much. Interesting little thing about Misha Tate, one of our former guests. She basically said she felt like crap the whole fight against Ronda Rousey. You know, just a few weeks away from that fight, she was basically just not in the best of moods. But she also told Dana White after that I'd fight her as many times as he'd let me. And I don't care if I fought her 100 times and I lost the first 99 of them. I would fight her 100 times, as many times as they let. She beat me 9 times out of 10. That might be the reality of it, but I would be game to fight her any day, any time they let me. And if I could ever work that and prove I deserve another title shot, or even if it's not for a title, if I ever do earn the opportunity to fight her again, I would love to. It's interesting. Basically, she broke it down. Her problems were sort of mental going into this fight, and it wasn't necessarily that she didn't feel ready, but she felt a lot of pressure. And she called it inner turmoil. When every single person you run into is like, please, for my sake, beat this girl up. You feel pressure not to let everyone down. It's not my fight then. It becomes a fight I'm fighting for everyone else. Puts pressure on an athlete, especially me, because I don't like to let people down. I felt a tremendous amount of pressure to not let everyone down, and then I heard people chanting my name. Oh my gosh, normally it should pump you up, but I was like, you guys are stressing me out. I love the fans, but it just added to it. There was enough pressure by itself. I didn't need the whole world to think, you have to beat this girl. It was just weird. But she also said she had a huge adrenaline dump before she competed. Her muscles, she said, felt like noodles. She sat in a hot tub and was in a state of relaxation when she needed to be explosive. And she obviously knew when she got to the cage that Ronda wasn't feeling any of that. So, it's an interesting story. This did not feel optimal. And she doesn't really explain it like an excuse either. She just is open and honest. She's very good with communication, unlike Ronda in some situations, who can fly off the handle pretty easily. She's pretty good with that stuff. All right. So, Tom, how did the fights go last night?
Well, the main event, I think that I was guilty to, you know, you hear that old cliche that the generals are always fighting the last war. And Filippo has been so just like maddeningly inconsistent. And I just felt he was going to put on a much better performance against Rockhold than he did, but he just could not impose his game at all. Now, Rockhold gave him angles. He was quicker. His kicks were effective and stopped him fairly quick. And now I'm starting to question why Filippo left Roy Longo and Matt Serra's team. Now, I don't know if it was an ego thing that maybe Chris Weidman was getting more of their time and attention since Chris was about to get a title shot. I don't really know the story behind it. But Filippo's got a – it just seems like quite a setback for him because last night sure was not his night. But Luke Rockhold really shined. So all credit to him.
And this is one of the main event fights. This is the only one I actually saw video of. Gil Romero Palacio had a TKO, pretty brutal, over Derek Brunson. That was an interesting fight. Third round.
Yeah, I had Brunson winning those first two rounds. I mean, the second round was closer, but it was supposed to be, Romero was supposed to be walking through him, and apparently Brunson suffered a broken jaw in the third round. And
yeah,
that just seemed just deflated him completely, so there's no question about the stoppage on that one. So, but it was kind of interesting because I think Romero was about a 3-1 favorite, and he sure didn't look
right
like it early on. So we'll see where he goes.
We had T.J. Dillashaw beat Mike Easton by unanimous decision, and Brad Tavares beat Lorenz Larkin by unanimous decision. For Larkin, he's just yet another strike force guy who just does not match up well against the UFC. Stable. No surprise there. But the strike force guys, just a learning curve, you know, maybe they'll start coming up for more, but it seems so far that he's been matched up against some of the best guys in the UFC. John Moraga beat Dustin Ortiz by split decision. Cole Felder beat Sam Cecilia. Beat Sam by submission rear naked choke in the second round. And we had Ramzi Nijem from one of the Ultimate Fighter seasons a few years ago. He beat Justin Edwards. That's a name from the past there. He's been around for a while. By unanimous decision. And we had Elias Silverio beat Isaac Valley Flag by unanimous decision. A lot of decisions on this card. We had Trevor Smith beat Brian Houston by split decision. Louis Smolka, S-M-O-L-K-A, beat Altekin of Killick by unanimous decision. And we had the first couple fights. Vince Pichel beat Garrett Whiteley by unanimous decision, and Benil Dariush beat Charlie Brenneman by rear naked choke in the first round.
Yeah, Charlie, Charlie came with a great wrestling background, but he just has not evolved his stand-up game from what I seen last night. He just I don't know if he's really been working hard on it and just not getting it, but he's really got to pick that up if he's going to stay around.
Right. So, Tony, what do we got for big boxing events coming up?
Well, we actually got a fight that I'm pretty excited about this weekend. And that's an all-Canadian war between Lucien Bute and Jean Pascal. So let's go in here and take a look at some of the particulars with regards to this fight. I'm a little slow typing tonight. I smashed my finger with a weight. Looks like a fish, too. Okay, so this is considered a five-star fight. Very very exciting. Come on, piece of shit. Computer loaded. Okay, here we go. January the 18th, which is Saturday. The Bell Center, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. 12 rounds. NABF, Lake Bull. So we got Jean Pascal, who is 28-2 with one draw. He has 17 knockouts. The two losses, he had a unanimous decision loss to Carl Frotch. Not too bad to have on your resume. He also had a draw and a loss to Bernard Hopkins. Both of them, I thought Hopkins won. First fight, he did have Hopkins down twice. Second fight, I thought Hopkins pretty much dominated him, even though decision was a lot closer. And I think the fight to Hopkins that he lost in May of 2011, he had two fights, a win over Aleksei Kumazensky, unanimous decision, and then a TKO over George Blade back about 5 months ago. And now he's stepping up to fight me. Lucien Bute, who is moving up in weight, who is normally fighting at about 168 pounds, and you can hear the hell to go. God damn it. Oh, here we go. So Bute, we have him at 31-1, 24 knockouts. He lost the fight to Carl Frosch back in May of 2012. That stopped in five rounds and beaten up pretty bad. Since that, he's had one fight, which was a unanimous decision over Denis Grachev, who was undefeated coming into the fight. He was 12-0-1. So, yeah, two fighters with pretty good records. Pascal is naturally the bigger man. UK has advantages in speed, reflexes. I would say punching power is going to go to Pascal, and chin is definitely going to go to Pascal. So what I think we're going to have to look at here is how the fight progresses. If it's a fight on the outside and more of a technical fight, you have to give it to the faster fighter. You have to give it to the southpaw Bute. If the fight ends up going with more of a trade-off, then you've got to go to the bigger man, the naturally better puncher with the better chin. In this one, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to go with Pascal late. I'll be somewhere around 8 or 9 rounds. I think Bute will be ahead early, but I think Pascal will finally get to him with some power shots as the fight progresses. And it showed in the Carl Frotch fight that Bute can be hurt and he can be stopped. Also on that card, we have Mike Perez, heavyweight. And this is going to be his first fight since that near-tragic fight with Magomed Abulsamov back in November. So now he's stepping in there to fight the once-beaten Carlos Takam. So we have Perez, who is 20-0, 12 knockouts, undefeated, stepping up to fight Carlos Takam, who is 29-1 with 23 knockouts. His only loss was back in 2009, a unanimous decision to an undefeated Gregory Tony. He has a stoppage win over Franz Benta. He has a stoppage win over Michael Grant, actually just a few months ago. About 7-8 months ago, which this is the first I've heard of it. So, yeah, a good quality fight here. And a lot of it depends on how much how much Perez has mentally for this fight. You just see times when a fighter is coming off a tragic outcome like that, even though I'm thankfully did not pass away. You see situations where it plays on the guy's mind. I remember it happened with Boom Mancini. I remember it happening with Gabriel Ruelas. And all the fighters, they came out there and they couldn't pull the trigger anymore. And if they got a guy hurt, you know, they would instinctively back off. Will Ellis came out as far and said that he saw Jimmy Garcia in the ring with him. So, like I said, I know Magomed is recovering, but still, when you go through an ordeal like that, it leaves a lot on your mind. And it's interesting to see how Mike Perez is going to do here. Let's see what else we have on...
Showbox card, our boy from the last interview we did with Tony Luis there. He's in a big fight against Ivan Redcatch. 17th Friday night. Good morning.
About Friday night, let me look.
MaxBoxing.com has an interesting story with Tony on that. Interesting interview.
And so far, the focus of the emails I've been getting have been really putting the attention on Redcatch as, you know, the next best thing. So Tony's going to have to fight out of obscurity here again. But the headline I got here on the blog says, the new generation starts off the year with stellar card featuring 8 fighters with only 1 combined loss between them. And of course, Luis is the one that has that one loss.
Yep, Ivan Redcatch is 15-0, 13 knockouts. So he's got a pretty glistening record. I just want to look to see if I know any of the guys that he had fought. Last fight was against Lowell Brownfield, 11-9-1. Antonio Sanchez, 5-1. Sergio Rivera, 27-10. So I can say that I don't know a lot of these names on here. But he's taking him out. He's doing the job.
You know,
he's
Rocky, out.
He's taking the guy that's first experience.
Do you ever hear of the Brooklyn Rocky, Tony?
What?
Have you ever heard of the Brooklyn Rocky?
Brooklyn Rocky?
That's what they're calling Frank Galarza. He's also on this card fighting. John, the Apollo Kid Thompson, 14-0 with 5 knockouts. This guy's got 2 nicknames. How's that fair? It's called the Brooklyn Rocky Frank, quote, notorious, unquote, Galarza.
Yeah.
Obviously from Brooklyn. Also, Antoine Action Douglas, who's 11-0 with 7 knockouts. He's fighting Marquise Davis. And he's Dr. Goodnight, M.D. Goodnight. Oh, M.D., not doctor, because it's his initials, Marcus Davis.
He thought he was a doctor.
And Maurice Mighty Mo Hooker, 12-0, 9 knockouts, will be fighting Abel Ramos, who's 8-0 with 4 knockouts. And that's pretty good for Showbox, you know. That's pretty interesting to have so many undefeated guys on the card. A lot of nice fights here, so that's one I might try to tune in for. But do we have a Friday night fight on ESPN?
Well, I didn't see a whole lot of cards on Friday night. I thought there was.
No, they're taking a break this week. There's no Friday night fights.
Damn it!
Till next week.
So give us that prediction.
Well, speaking of Rocky, I don't know if you guys got to see it, but I went out last weekend, the one night. It was kind of slow. There wasn't really any fights on, and I pretty much lost interest in any of the football games. So I went to see a grudge match with Stallone and De Niro. And you know what? It didn't get great reviews, but a lot of movies I enjoy don't get great reviews. I thought the movie was funny as shit. Kevin Hart had me cracking up. De Niro, you know, was his usual, you know, kind of smart mouth self. I enjoyed it, you know. And if you get a chance, I definitely recommend checking it out.
All right. Well, actually, that kind of reminds me of a story I forgot to mention. We have a real-life grudge day going on. And, boxing right now between the fathers of two boxers who just fought recently, Robert Guerrero and Floyd Mayweather, their fathers had a photo shoot the other day and pretty much almost got into a fight. And they've actually floated the idea, obviously probably not seriously, but of actually putting these guys in the ring and making them, having them actually have a fight. The question is, how many EMTs are going to have? Are they going to have to take these guys out on stretchers? But the trainers, I guess what happened was Robert Guerrero's father came over and put his fist in Mayweather Sr.'s face. And, you know, obviously Mayweather's been a boxer. And he's still training. Both of them are training his sons. There's obviously some bad blood between them from the press conferences and everything leading up to the fights. It's no secret they don't like each other. So when somebody that you don't doesn't like you and you don't like him puts their fist in your face at a photo shoot, you know, shit's bound to happen. So, you know, nobody seriously got hurt, but they had to pull these guys away from each other after that happened, apparently.
Now, how old are these guys? Do we know? Probably in their 60s?
Well, I think Mayweather Sr. is a little older than Robert Guerrero's father, but that's just my guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Battle of the Geezers, a combined 120 years in the ring. Oh, that was...
Oh, unbelievable. So, well, that's pretty much all I got.
You know, Rich, talking about that movie, you were saying Joey Karate was on there, and he played a pretty good part. And, like, because De Niro was a smart ass at one point, he's like, this guy can't be my trainer. He probably ain't my trainer. And then at one point, like, Joey Karate was sitting there reading the magazine. He's like, this fat ass, I'm making fun of him. He probably didn't know I'm talking about him. And then, like I said, it was just funny, sarcastic De Niro being De Niro. But one of the funnier lines actually was, one of the funnier scenes was with Chael Sonnen.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because they're doing anything they can do, these, you know, Stallone and De Niro, and Kevin Hart's putting everything together that he can promote this fight. And, you know, Stallone, you know, he's like pretty broke, so he's got to help sell it, even though he really doesn't want to be and do it. And De Niro, he just wants to get anything he can do to get this fight. So the one thing, like, there's this UFC event. So they're looking at it, they're looking at the cage, because, like, they had never seen this before. So they're like, oh, what's this? They're like, oh, what, you wrestle? They're like, oh, my God. And then they're making fun of him. You know, I don't want to lay on the ground with no other guy. You know, and they're making fun of that. And then, like, Chael Sonnen gets up and he's like, getting, like, all pissed off. He's like, oh, what are you making all fun of, whatever? And, you know, and then he says something to De Niro, and then Stallone steps in. And then, like, Stallone, like, decks him, and that's now.
Then they showed him
in the crowd at the main event, and he, like, gives the finger.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I know I've said it before on the show, but my high school, before they tore it down recently, was actually the backdrop for the movie Here Comes the Boom. I still haven't seen that movie yet, and my school was part of it.
Well, Rich, I got you beat on that one, bro.
Yeah.
It was a real small independent film made in Philadelphia about 6-7 years ago called Pat. P-A-P-P-E-D, I was talking about it today. I was in the movie, but I still haven't seen it.
I was in it because it was an independent film, but
here's how small the budget was for that film. I was on, I think I wasn't even on Facebook yet. I was still on MySpace. And they had a thing they put on this Glenside, which is my hometown, Glenside MySpace page saying, hey, we need extras for this movie. Anybody want to be an extra in a movie? You know, we need people. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. I don't care. So I send the thing in. Hey, I'll be an extra. And I get an email from this girl. And she's like, hey, we want to have you seen an extra film in Glenside, PA. And we want you to come here. And she told me what it was. Well, it was right next to a bar that I used to hang out at. So she calls me on the phone. And she was like, oh, okay, you're going to be the extra. And I'm like, yeah. And she didn't say, I'll give you directions. I'm like, sweetheart, all you got to say is Cancer Tavern. I know exactly where it is. So we get there, and I see this girl that recruited me. got a t-shirt on, hair in a ponytail, her jeans on. And I go, hi, I'm Tony, nice to meet you. She goes, hi, I'm Jen, I'm helping recruit people for extras. I'm thinking she's like a production assistant. She's the lead actress of the movie. It was a local girl, and then she was also helping recruit the talent.
Cool.
Yeah, but like I said, I've seen the trailers, and I've seen like little bits and pieces on it, but I've actually never seen the movie. So I should check out to see how awesome I look with the silver screen. Because they took me out of Rocky, those fuckers.
Well, I'll tell you about a guy who deserves a movie about his life. Just turned 49 years old. Your boy, Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he had turned 49 yesterday. I remember after his fight against Tyro Marat a few months ago. He was in there doing an interview, and he's like, in 15 weeks, I'm going to turn 50.
And we're going to interview him. One of these days, maybe. Bernard, I got some feelers out to his people over there at Swanson Communications. Well, actually, I saw Kelly Swanson out there in Vegas for the first time. She was filming Floyd doing some sit-ups there at the open workout. She's a pretty funny lady, actually.
Well, I'll say that now. An interview with Bernard would be easy as shit. What you gotta do is just say, Bernard, welcome to the show, and put the phone down and let him go for 2 hours.
Yeah. I should send them your analysis that we did about the possibility of fighting Mayweather. Maybe then they'll put him on with us. I could go like that article. Anyway, I think we're done for the week. We're going to bounce off early here, and next week we'll be talking about the next big UFC event coming up. I think, what is it, the 25th is the next big UFC event?
Yes, that'll be in Chicago, Saturday the 25th.
Stipe and Gabe Chicago,
what a fight.
Right. Well, your boy. We got to get your boy on, too.
Yes.
One of these days. Anyway, that's all we got, folks. Stay tuned to FightNewsUnlimited.com for future stories about the boxing and the mixed martial arts and wrestling communities out there. We're going to post some new stories on the blog tonight before midnight, so check it out. And have a good week. Enjoy the Showbox big event there. I know we're going to be rooting for Tony Luis, our guest, not too long ago here. Was it last week already? Or the week before?
A couple weeks ago, we had him on.
Also, Ron Van Cleef in the works. He was actually going to be on a plane tonight from Hawaii, so he couldn't do it. Even though they do allow cell phones on planes, I guess, or they're going to. I don't know if they have done it yet, but he couldn't be with us, and also Bobby Gunn is in the works. He couldn't be with us also because he's going to be on a plane, so apparently a lot of people are missing our show because they're on planes. But we'll get that done. We'll set those up, hopefully. Man, I still haven't even really tried to reach Tito Ortiz, his people. But we know he's probably not that busy doing interviews because he's probably dodging most of the people who want to talk to him. I thought it's park rats there, so maybe we'll get lucky with that.
Lots of exciting stuff coming up. Keep listening.
Yes, sir. So that's all, folks.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy the fights this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Hasta la vista, baby.